Todd Furman, our guy in Vegas, with us. Hey, Todd, what's going on?
Not a whole lot, gentlemen. How's everything in Nashville?
Doing well. Got to know. Grizz close out tonight, you think?
You know what? The line move says that we will see a game six at minimum, and I tend to agree. I don't think Memphis is going to bring their A game and try and close Oklahoma City out on their home court. You talk about a team with so much pride and a difficult building to play in. This number opened at 3.5. It's been bet up to 5. The public clearly behind Memphis in this spot, but the professionals seem to think much differently.
Miami Heat also, I think they've already closed out the Chicago Bulls, as Clay said earlier. They're kind of debating whether or not to play Dwayne Wade tonight. I'm guessing they will, even though they don't need to. What do you think happens?
Miami 14-point favorite here. I think when you look at the number, maybe the Bulls find a way to cover, but I definitely don't think this series gets extended. They woke a sleeping giant with the game one win, and Miami has kind of found that sixth gear and really put it in cruise control. I'd probably set the over-under on total playoff losses for the Heat moving forward. I'd make it 1.5 and probably have to put a little juice on the under.
What do you think about that stat? Jason Kidd, the New York Knicks, hasn't scored in like 177 minutes, yet they still play him. Knicks look really bad against Indiana moving forward. Indiana trying to close that out tomorrow.
I'm not a huge NBA fan, so I was kind of surprised that Jason Kidd was even still in the NBA. All kidding aside, though, I think it just goes to show the Knicks, when you look at their team chemistry, I mean, this unit, anytime they face adversity, they don't seem to rally around it. Carmelo Anthony hasn't been the dominant force. He needs to be in the fourth quarter. I do think the Knicks will put together a complete 48 minutes, so find a way to win and cover game 5, and then game 6 will be the real telltale sign. Always interesting to see who the NBA assigns to officiate these games, and we see Joey Crawford headed to New York. So expect some early fouls on Roy Hibbert.
Does something like that affect the line?
It doesn't affect the line per se. Just this time of year, there's so much public money, but it definitely does affect the handicap, and a lot of the professionals and even some more of the recreational bettors start to pay a lot more attention to it because some of these officials have a penchant for letting things go. Other officials become, you know, more inclined to have games go over the total just because they're officiating it so closely.
Todd, okay, let's dive into this Grizz series again because we're going to game 5. They're an underdog. What's the line there exactly?
You're looking right now at Memphis as a 5-point underdog. The total there, Clay, at 185.
Okay, so let's say that Memphis loses that game. We're sitting at the Grizz up 3-2, but we're coming back for game 6. So really all OKC would have to do is win one road game to completely flip everything and suddenly toss it to a game 7. What would the line be roughly, you think, in game 6, assuming no major injuries or anything crazy that would maybe knock things out of whack? What do you think the line would be in game 6?
All things being equal, Memphis will open up about a 4.5-point favorite for game 6. I do expect if it opens at that price, it'll get pushed up to 5. The number you're seeing here is a little bit of an inflated desperation tag for Oklahoma City. Games 1 and 2, the Thunder were only a 3-point favorite in game 1, is where that number closed, and a 2.5-point favorite. So a 5 here says that Memphis probably won't match their intensity. Hypothetically, if the series were to go all the way to a game 7, you're only looking at Oklahoma City about a 2.5-point favorite there again.
Okay, so let's assume the Grizz are going to close out this series at 1 point. They advance. Give me an idea what the series odds would look like against both the Spurs and the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals.
My power numbers, I've adjusted them quite a bit during the postseason, mainly because of some of the Spurs deficiencies. I make the Spurs a -140 favorite, meaning you'd have to put up $1.40 to make a dollar coming back, and that's only because of home court. I think you would see some Grizzlies money, maybe not at that price because that's more a true indication. Books may use a little higher price tag because San Antonio has become the household name, although people growing all too familiar with Memphis, and I think it'll clearly turn some heads for the casual fan if they close at Oklahoma City. Memphis against Golden State, you're looking at Memphis probably in that $4 to $5 favorite range, although that number should come down based, again, on perception that if the Warriors upend the mighty Spurs, that this is an upstart team worthy of everyone paying attention to.
So if you're a Grizz fan, you're rooting really hard. Not a surprise, but there's a substantial difference between their odds of advancing to the NBA Finals if they're playing the Spurs versus if they're playing the Warriors.
A huge difference. And right now, if you're looking at the Western Conference, in all honesty, Clay, the Spurs are -130, making them the favorite to win the West. The Grizz pay a little better than even money at +115. And then a huge drop off to Oklahoma City at 25-1 to win the West. And Golden State available at 28-1.
All right, let's go to the NBA Finals. I'm going to skip them ahead a couple of different rounds. Grizz or Spurs, let's say that it's probably going to be one of those two against the Heat. What's that line look like in your mind?
You're looking at Miami in true odds. What they should be, Miami should be close to a 1-5 favorite, meaning you'd have to put up 500 to make 100 against either one of those opponents. Now, I'm not sure books would go in that direction because you would get nothing but dog money and create some liability there. But you're talking about a nightmare matchup for Miami against the Spurs. The Spurs just don't have any guys that contain any of the dribble drive penetration. But Memphis creates a little bit of a stiffer challenge because you talk about a dynamic duo in the middle with Marc Gasol and Zach Randolph that could pose some matchup problems for the Heat. I just wonder how that would be officiated, and I think it would take its toll on Tony Allen, who you'd have to imagine would be marked up with LeBron James throughout that series.
Todd Furman with us on 3HL. Todd, I think it was listener Pam sent us an email and wanted to know about the French Open coming up.
Yeah, when you look at the French Open.
Unexpected. I have no idea.
Especially on the men's side of things, you're talking all the time about Rafael Nadal,
right.
Even with Novak Djokovic dominance. Serena Williams is the favorite on the women's side, but much more competitive for that particular event, just because we've seen so many different women win the French Open on that side of the draw. Roger Federer, to put in perspective, guys, who's the third favorite on the men's side, he's available at 18-1.
Oh, wow.
So it's really Nadal and Djokovic to win. On the women's side, you have four main attractions all listed at less than 10-1. Serena, the favorite, slightly above even money. Maria Sharapova listed at 3-1. Victoria Azarenka at 9-2. And Na Li available at 7-1.
Well done with the names. Horse racing, Preakness, Orb. Is Orb a Triple Crown kind of horse?
You know, every year people want to anoint whoever performs well at the Kentucky Derby as the next super horse. I think it's what the sport needs to really generate some interest.
Yeah.
Orb, from a fixed odds standpoint, before they opened up some of the post positions, they had him as a minus 120 favorite. But I don't really buy into the fact that, you know, he's a guy that should be that, or a horse, I should say, that should be that heavy a favorite. I think you look at the rest of the field, there's plenty of other capable horses. But the Preakness hasn't been an event to really trip up the Triple Crown threat. It's been the Belmont in the past.
Todd Furman with us. You can get him on Twitter, at Todd Furman. Clay?
No, I was going to say, Todd, what's the situation?
Sorry.
We had the big announcement yesterday of the kid going to Wiggins, going to Kansas. Did that really shake up the future odds for college basketball at all? Is he as transcendent a player in Vegas' eyes, maybe, as he was in the eyes of the fan bases that were paying a lot of attention to his decision?
He definitely is. You talk about one player not making a difference in football in any great capacity, whether it be NFL or college. College basketball, however, the one sport where one player shifting rosters or making that decision can adjust odds. Kansas was listed at 30-1 at the Las Vegas Hotel. After Wiggins officially announced that he'd be going to Lawrence and playing for Coach Self, that number dropped to 10-1. And it catapults Kansas into the top five, in my opinion. You'll see a little bit of fallout for some of the other favorites. The only team that won't move that had pretty short odds were the Kentucky Wildcats. They'll remain in that same range. I still think Oklahoma State available 40 or 50-1 with the return of Marcus Smart definitely warrants some consideration as an early value play.
Can you remember any single recruit's announcement shifting the gears? I mean, from 30-1 to 10-1 is
That's
a
ridiculous.
Massive swing. Can you remember another player that had an immediate impact like that on the overall line in Vegas?
The only reason I don't say I remember another player that's moved in number that drastically is because most of the big recruits will commit before the future odds are even put out. So
right.
The books won't have to try and make this large-scale adjustment. And I'll openly admit, college basketball recruiting, not something I follow a ton to know a name off the top of my head. But this is definitely a huge, huge move, especially when you talk about, you know, all the experts out there calling him the best high school product since LeBron James.
You mentioned that, you know, taking one player off a football team doesn't affect things too much, but TCU suspended a really good defensive end. He's the defensive player of the year in the Big 12. They play LSU to open the season. Does that affect that line?
You probably will see that line move about a half a point. The one book that a couple of the offshores that do have these numbers up, I mean, they take such low limits early, they're not going to tip their hand. The LSU-TCU game, LSU opened as a 7.5-point favorite. There was some money that came in, pushed TCU as low as 6.5, but the number right back where it opened at 7.5.
Okay.
Those are the kind of injuries, though, and suspensions, Brent, that'll impact more of the handicap than it will the lines, only because a lot of the general public doesn't know the marquee players on the defensive side of the ball in the college game.
Good stuff, Todd. Appreciate you, man.
Always a pleasure, guys.
All right. Thank you, Todd Furman. If you have specific questions for him, at Todd Furman on Twitter.